Would you turn with me this morning to the experience we have there of that young man who came to meet the Lord, recorded for us in Matthew 19 and from verse 16 and onwards. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? This story covers, or at least is covered by, all, most of the other, three of the other Gospels, and gives us little details that give us a picture of who this man was who came to meet the Lord. And one thing we can say, if we want to summarize the message this morning, it's simply this. Here we have a man who had everything, but he lacked something. Here we have a man who had everything, but who lacked something. We mentioned last week that the Gospel of Matthew deals primarily with the Gospel of the Kingdom and of the King. And we saw in our summary, in our brief analysis, that the authority and the rule of the Lord Jesus in the chapters of Matthew is established in so many different realms of life and of living. He is the sovereign Lord over creation and all the forces of nature. His authority runs right into the spiritual world, and the demons are subject to him. His authority runs out into the lives of people, and we saw that especially the way in which he spoke to Levi and called Matthew to follow him. In the same way as the Lord speaks to us and says the same thing to us this morning, that we also must follow him. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, will not take second place to anything or to anyone. He requires an immediate and a full total response from us to follow him. In Matthew chapter 8, we have the episode recorded of a man who said that he would follow him, but give me time, first of all, to discharge my family responsibilities and to bury those that are older than me. And when that's done, then I'll follow you. And the Lord says, no, now do it. And some did follow the Lord. And when you move, as we saw last time, we see them going out with the Lord in the boat, and they're immediately in a storm. Right at the very beginning of following the Lord, right at the very beginning of Christian life and living, sometimes there are storms that can be fearfully intimidating. And these young disciples in the boat wanted the Lord to do something, to act on their behalf. And they were rebuked for so asking, because their safety and the safety of every one of God's peoples come from the Lord's presence with us. If you go back to Deuteronomy and some of the blessings that were there given to the different families of Israel at the very end of Deuteronomy, especially chapter 33, we read these words: There is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thine help, and in his excellency on the sky. And then these words: The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say unto thee, Destroy them. The uniqueness of God and the safety that he gives to his people through all the dangers of life. That priority we saw last time in the life of Levi. But that same priority and challenge comes in the area of things. You know the kind of things I'm talking about. the materialism of society today, when people want this gadget or gizmo, when people want this latest thing of sales pitch or whatever. That's what we have here in this man's challenge to us. The Lord is constantly intruding, and the Lord is constantly challenging the very structures of our life and of our living. He's constantly challenging the way we look at life and the way we approach death. And especially he's constantly challenging us as to our opinion of himself and our attitude and relationship with God. Whatever setting, whatever need that we find the Lord in, there is always a spiritual truth, message and challenge coming across to us as to the way we live today. He met Nicodemus and brought it out there, turning on its head the approach that that man had. And here we have a man coming to meet Jesus, this good man, this ruler. And he asked, "What must I do that I may have eternal life?" And the Lord turned the whole conversation and intent of that meeting right round to give to us this challenge and this priority. Sell what you've got and follow me. And there he was challenging this priority of things in that man's life, because he was a rich man, great possession. And that's a message that comes down to us still today, especially to us today, when we have so much in our lives provided for us, making us comfortable and giving us lots of ease. We have so much of an emphasis upon what we have, what we enjoy, and so on. And the Lord, in the very familiar words just earlier on in Matthew's Gospel itself, in Matthew chapter 6, he says, "Seek ye first and the kingdom of heaven," or the kingdom of God and his righteousness, "and all these things shall be added unto you." And Jesus, speaking that in the Sermon on the Mount, is speaking in the context of, what will I put on? What will I eat? What will I drink? The kind of conversations that we would find around ourselves today in our society. That materialism that is daily with us and against which we've got to fight. And the Lord is here telling us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because that's the only place of safety. So therefore we have this man coming to meet the Lord. And I just want to draw out three or four things about him and his approach that perhaps apply to ourselves and to our own society today. First of all, we have this man seeking the Lord. Like we said, he seemed to have everything going for him. Look at him the way people today would look at him. First of all, in other places, we're told that he was a young ruler, a youth, still with all of the energy and all of the enthusiasm of life behind him and going for him, applying himself to work, but also applying himself to play. A young man. We are told that he was a young ruler. So obviously he had some position and some influence in society. And to be a ruler while he is still young tells us that he was either very clever or very favored and prosperous. He also a man who, we're told here, had great possession. Perhaps it was family inheritance that came down to him, or perhaps he was good success in his work. And we're told also from the way in which he kept the laws as best he could, that he was a man of upright morals and integrity. And that gives us a picture of somebody who has a lot going for him. Some of these qualities, even just one or two of them, are what people today will chase after. People today will want to be at the center of things, youth on their side. Or they'll want to be in positions of authority and influence. But here is a man who had all the boxes ticked. Here's a man who had all things going for him. Whatever he wanted to give him satisfaction or to give him pleasure, he could get. These are the things that people today devote their lives to following or to getting. Youth and enthusiasm on their side. Influence. Possessions. To be ruler, to be clever, to be favored. These are the things that are set out in front to be reached and to be attained by people today. And it's set out so that if you get that, and if you've got it, and you're enjoying it, people think that that's all it is to life. If you get all of these boxes ticked, if you've got all these things in your life, then you've arrived. Complete. No lack, no defect. Here is a man who had everything. He speaks to us of our society today. In the 1980s, it was called a yuppie. The name might change. The initials most certainly do. But the idea is still the same. Modern man looking to chase after and to get all of these things that this man had. And in getting them, perhaps to get life itself. But he had everything. But he lacked something. There was something in his life that was not complete, and it wasn't full, and it wasn't satisfying. He came asking about eternal life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Despite all that he had, there was some aspect, there was a little corner of his life, a little part of his character that was not satisfied, not complete. It wasn't at rest. There was an emptiness inside this man, even although he had all of these things. And the picture that he gives us of himself is a picture that is reproduced and reflected and seen down through the generations and even in our own modern society, where we have people with a materialistic agenda, pushing and chasing so much that you can get, so much that you enjoy, so much that is on offer before us. And if you've got all these things, then your life will be full. And this man tells us that is not the case. Here we have this man, a living example to us, that if we neglect the spiritual side of our lives, then we're neglecting something that is so vital and so important. The prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, he goes below the surface of life and he looks deeply into the agenda that people have today. And he says, why are you spending your money for what will not satisfy you? Why are you spending your money for what does not satisfy you? And that's a simple challenge that echoes right down to our own society, even into our own lives, as we hear it being said by the prophet. The more we spend, the more exotic the things that are on offer before us, the more we want them and more we chase them, thinking that that's what's going to meet our life and fill our days. but it doesn't bring satisfaction any closer. Or again, Isaiah says, why are you spending all of your toil? Why are you spending all of your labor on that which satisfies not? People apply themselves 24/7. People put in huge days and long work, and that doesn't give them satisfaction that they're looking for. We have what society provides for us. But if we neglect the spiritual side of our life, we are less than complete. This man lacked something, so he came to Jesus. And he asked Jesus that how he might have eternal life. This man stops us in our tracks. And he makes us look again at the things in our lives that we chase after and that we want to get. And this man tells us there's something much more important. There is something much more vital and urgent than the things that we can get in our hands or experience day after day. All of the activity, everything that is knocking at the door of our life, in all of the busyness of life, this man speaks to us and he tells us there's something much more important. There's a spiritual side to you and me that we neglect at our peril. And so God is speaking to us. He is speaking through the scriptures and he says, listen to me. The prophet Isaiah says, incline your ear unto me. Listen to me. Up till now you've been listening to every voice of all the latest attractions. You've been listening to everything that's been put out before you. Every Tom, Dick and Harry offering some newfangled scheme, some exciting trip, some novel experience. And God is saying, close your ears to that. Listen to me. Be still for a moment. We have been feeding our souls on so much that is on offer round about us. And God is now telling us, give it a pass. Instead, eat what's good for your soul. Eat what is good for your soul. Listen to the gospel of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the message of forgiveness that he has obtained on the cross. According to the standards of justice, it's been dealt with in our upright way, a perfect way. There's no defect in the process. There's no fault in the message. What Jesus Christ obtained, giving himself as a sacrifice for the sins of his people, satisfies the laws of God. And so therefore there is built upon that message, this gospel to ourselves today, that is the one message, the only message, that our souls must have. We can have everything else, all the boxes ticked, but if we don't have this, we are lacking. The gospel of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only source of forgiveness. It's the only source of pardon for our life. To know him for ourselves. To know his healing touch on our soul. And to listen to the encouraging words that he speaks of peace to us. Quite simply, nothing is better, nothing can be compared to what he says to every one of his children who seek him. Seeking, even though he had everything going for him, he lacked something and he sought the Lord. But if that's the first thing, and we've taken some time to linger upon it, to challenge ourselves, to see its relevance to ourselves today, there are other things that I want us to bring out, and we'll do so perhaps more quickly. Not only was he seeking the Lord, he was also coming with a sincere approach. This man, we are told in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, this man ran up to Jesus. This man knelt down before Jesus. He wanted something. And he demonstrates urgency and respect as he comes to Jesus. And that respect is still carried over in the way in which he speaks to Jesus. He says, "Good Master." There is, in all that he says and the way he carries himself, there is that respect and sincerity in coming to Jesus. What he's looking for, he cannot put off. He cannot take this spiritual question, and he cannot lose it in the agenda of life. He cannot scatter it along the path of what he intends doing tomorrow. He cannot put it off until Thursday or Friday of next week. He cannot wait for a convenient time along with many other things in his life. This spiritual longing that he's got has a life and has a power all its own, because God is dealing in his soul. And as he had opportunity, he followed it through and he came seeking the Lord. And he came with this question, "What must I do?" Yes, he was mistaken. He was mistaken because we cannot do anything to earn or to merit salvation ourselves. But this man also gives us a challenge as to our spiritual desires. So often, we're not put out by what we hear. We don't chase up what comes to our soul. We're not inconvenienced by the things God says to us. Things come and things go into and out of our life, and there's no footprint of that presence with us. What God tells us doesn't break into the structure of our living or command our attention or has a permanent effect upon us. This man's life challenges us with the sincerity and the urgency of his approach. But if he came with a sincere approach, he was met immediately with a searching response. What does the Lord do to him? The Lord comes with his own agenda and with his own priorities. He did it to Nicodemus. He upset the whole thinking and intent of that meeting that was behind Nicodemus. So Jesus does the same with this young man now. He places a simple challenge of a single-hearted devotion to God. That man boasted of many things. He had everything going for him. But he lacked something. And the Lord Jesus Christ puts his finger upon it. And he brings it right out to the center of his life and his attention. And he says, "Go sell what you've got and follow me." Yes, it's good to have much of what society provides for us. It's good to have things that money can buy, and to be thankful for these things, to thank God for them. In a society today, we don't see that as often as we should. We don't see people acknowledging God's hand and providing what we've got, but we receive so much from Him and we've got an obligation to thank Him for it. It's good to have things that money can buy, provided that is. We don't lose out on things that money cannot buy. A searching response of the Lord, putting His finger on the problem in this man's life. And the Lord knows him and the Lord knows us. And the Lord, knowing us and knowing him, is able and does speak very personally and pointedly and powerfully to us all. The Lord deals with us individually. He knows where our weakness is. He knows the problem in us all. And the Lord, dealing with us, puts his finger on this in my life and something different in yours. But for both of us, for each of us, the challenge is that he must have the priority in life to himself. A searching response. And again, is that not what is needed today in our materialistic society? When we can be so wrapped up, we can be so dominated by what's going on round about us, we can be so taken up with the things of time and sense. The man in the story in our Bibles who had a great harvest and said, I'm going to build bigger barns. And he thought that he was set in life and he thought that he was set for life. But he was called before God and he lacked one thing essential despite the bigger barns that he had. The first place which the Lord challenges this man on and challenges us today. The Lord especially comes to this man's thinking. This ruler was asking, Lord, what else can I add to my life? What other box can I tick? What else must I do? Alongside all this list of fine things that I've done. And the Lord says, no, it's not an addition that he's going to give. The Lord is going to give a substitution. The Lord with one hand is sweeping clear the deck, the table of this man's life. He is sweeping clear all of these things that the man put great store on. And he is giving one searching, simple challenge. Get rid of all that. These things that you love, these things that you delight in, sweep them all to one side. And now, follow me. In all the things that we gather through life, in all the things that we get through our living, we can be well off. And there is nothing wrong in that in and of itself. But we've also got to have this quality, this possession, this simple feature in our characters. God looks down and searches our lives, you and me. And he is searching for one simple thing. What does he see in us? Of the faith and the love and the trust in Lord Jesus Christ, his own Son. That's what he's looking for. Jesus Christ having that priority. Not only in the life of Levi, but now also in the life of this young ruler who had so many possessions that dominated and controlled his life. a sincere approach, a searching response. The last thought, a sad reaction. We were singing there in one of the Psalms of the arrow going home to the enemy of the king. The way in which God's word is like an arrow hitting the target. That's the mark of the servant of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 49. His word is like a polished shaft. It won't be deflected or twisted in its flight. It hits the target to which it is going and aimed at. And the arrow struck home with this young ruler. God was dealing with him and speaking to him. And he has to sell what he's got as a demonstration that he values the Lord now more than anyone and anything else. This man was challenged. If he wants to be a disciple, take up the cross and all that that involves and follow the Lord. And the tragic thing is, he went away sad. He was holding tight to what could never satisfy him. And all the while he was letting go past him the true source of spiritual forgiveness and of peace and of the very thing that he was looking for, eternal life. In one sense, the story is unfinished because we don't know the full end. We're told that he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Was that the end of it? Did he reflect? Did he return? Did he repent? Did he believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? We don't know. But we can put ourselves into that same setting. When the Lord touches something sensitive in our lives. When the Lord's hand identifies a lack in our living. And the Lord speaks plainly to us on some one thing essential and vital that we're lacking. One thing that is important in our life. Seek the Lord. Desire him, follow him. Make sure your relationship with him is right and proper and on a firm foundation. The challenge the Lord presents. Matthew gives us two examples where the Lord intervenes and the Lord challenges the priority in people's lives. Levi, follow me. And he immediately left his books, collecting taxes and custom, and he just simply left it all and immediately followed the Lord. A quick and willing response. But then we have this young man. And he went away sad and sorrowful because the things of this world got in the way of any interest in the world to come. The things of this world blurred his vision of the next world. And the priority of his life was clouding his vision of the Lord. The Lord sets a priority foot with us. He must have that first place. He has it in Levi. He looked for it in this young man. And he's looking for it from us also. He says, follow me. Trust him. Receive the gifts that he has obtained by his death and enjoy the blessings that they bring and give. Do we? Do we follow him? And do we know these blessings in our own souls and lives? A message for ourselves today. A man who had everything, but he lacked something. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, we bless thy name for thy word to us again this morning, and for the way in which thou dost challenge us, and the way in which thou dost speak to us, the way in which thou dost set us aside and apart, and the way in which thou dost put thy finger upon aspects of our life and living that needs to be addressed and dealt with. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst deal with us therefore in thy grace, that we might look at ourselves in the light of thy word, and that we might seek thee anew or afresh for ourselves. Lord, leave us not to ourselves. Abandon us not to our own path and our own thinking. Constantly, Lord, draw us. Speak with us. Lord, show us. Lord, teach us. And give us the strength and the grace to go where thou dost show. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close this morning by singing in Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and at verse 8. I will instruct thee and thee teach the way that thou shalt go. And with mine eye upon thee set, I will direction show. Then be not like the horse or mule which do not understand, whose mouth, lest they come near to thee, a bridle must command. Unto the man that wicked is, his sorrow shall abound, but him that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass round. Ye righteous in the Lord, be glad, in him do ye rejoice. All ye that upright are in heart, for joy lift up your voice. Psalm 32, at verse 8 to the end, I will instruct thee and thee teach.